It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. We're blasting our way through Kermit the Frog's catchphrase, "It's not easy being green," with eco-friendly help from our special guest, Steve Thomas, host of Renovation Nation on Planet Green, and from rehab addicts, Nicole Curtis, who's sharing the skinny on salvage yards, flea markets, and recycling vintage furnishings. And for those of you who want to take your Enviro efforts to a new level, we'll be announcing the winner of the Little Giant Select Step Ladder on today's show. So sit back, relax, and grab a cup of sustainable coffee in a reusable cup while we deliver you the latest in home improvement inside our earth-friendly show that contains absolutely no recycled content. It's all happening next on My Fix It Up Life.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
And you're inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
Wearing no green today.
No green at all.
No, but green on the inside.
You're green on the inside?
And my wife, Teresa.
Yeah?
Who has a green bag.
I do have a green bag. I got the limited.
Oh, great. Now yeah. We're going to talk about the bag.
Well, it's a hot bag. It's a leather bag, but it's one of those big shoulder bags.
That's what I was going to tell you guys.
And so when I decided to stop using the diaper bag, this bag is actually big enough to hold a diaper bottle, my computer, and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, and does it pass the test where your elbow passes through the...
Yes. Yeah, I've got a
girl test there.
Well, I think it might be just my personal test. I've never seen actually another woman do it, but I'm sure other women do it. That whenever I try on a new shoulder bag, I don't like to bend my arm around and everything. I want it to easily just slide through on my arm.
Yeah, that's the way I buy all my gear, too.
And I think it has something to do with the height, like the height of the lady. So a shorter woman has a shorter arm, so then she can have a purse that has...
Not unless she's a short
smaller.
Woman with really long arms. Just saying.
Okay, I guess that exists, too. No offense to any long-armed women out there. But did you like the intro today? That was dedicated to you.
Why?
Stephen Colbert fan.
Why?
No recycled content.
No recycled content. Mm-hmm. We've got our quips going for Colbert.
We do, totally. We love him.
Yeah, we're aficionados of the Colbertness.
Well, and a little bit of props, too, for our producer, Jessica, as well, who helps us out, because she's all into, you don't want to use, the coffee cozies.
Yeah.
She crochets hers, and she sells them on her... Oh, what's it called? Etsy kinds of shop or something? I don't know. Etsy.
We should know.
I should know.
I don't know. The macho code prohibits me from knowing that. Even if you told me, it wouldn't go in my head.
But did you know that Americans will consume 23 billion paper coffee cups this year?
I'm somewhat embarrassed to say I'm consuming one of them right now.
Are you eating it or are you drinking in it? Drinking fluid out of it?
I'm drinking out of it. And mm-hmm. out of those 23 billion, which that's a giant number. Well, we probably consume 1 billion at my Fix It Up Life.
Well, I'm using my reusable coffee mug that I brought from home.
That's right.
That's totally hot. That Matthias, our friend, Chicken Monkey, totally had his eye on recently. He was helping us with a project.
Oh, yeah. I don't trust him for one second.
Yeah, because we got this. You got this at an event, a DeWalt event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they gave us a coffee thing.
It's totally hot looking, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's like the pink one that I got at Starbucks that failed on us because we used it in the dishwasher, because these things are not dishwasher safe.
Yeah, you can't put those in the dishwasher.
No.
It's the rubber gasket, I think, that just can't take the heat, hot and cold from being in the dishwasher. But, we use reusable stuff, but we use 23 billion paper cups, which all roads with green seem to start and end with the waste strain.
They do. And, you know, one thing that we like to do is to burn all of the cutoffs and, like, the paper box, the cardboard boxes and stuff that things come in at our house
and
our
cartons.
Fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether it's the outdoor fire fire pit we have or burning in our wood stove.
And you just did a blog for HGTV Pro?
It was DIY Network.
DIY Network on, you had a question about can you burn soft woods like pine?
In your fireplace, mm-hmm. inside your house. And the answer, because a lot of people don't do it mm-hmm. because they say that the conventional wisdom is it will create creosote and sap and things in your chimney, which aren't good for the chimney. And while that's true, you don't want creosote buildup. There's no creosote buildup from burning softwoods.
Well, yeah. And we've got some hot guests on today's show, I want to say.
Steve Thomas from Renovation Nation.
Yes, and you can find out about him at stevethomashome.com. And also Nicole Curtis, who's on a new program on DIY Network.
Yeah, Rehab Addict. And I'm very excited both to see this show and talk to her.
I'm very excited as well.
And up for grabs, we have like a wildfire tool, Little Giant Select Step Stepladder.
Yes, it's a really good, really, really good ladder. Very versatile and everything. And we're excited to share who won that, too, on today's show.
Yes, and it is an industrial strength, commercial grade, awesome ladder. Reinvents the category.
Totally. And I think we'll have to take a break.
Okay, we will see you next on My Fix It Up Life. Replacing a roof is a major investment. When considering your options, make sure to investigate synthetic roofing slate and shake tiles from DaVinci Roofscapes. Cost-effective and made to last, DaVinci's weather-resistant roofing tiles have a 50-year warranty. A DaVinci roof provides long-term comfort and security, along with adding great beauty to the exterior. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles. For more information, visit DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624.
And you're inside My Fix It Up Life in Mark's favorite segment of our show called Fix It Up Finds.
Fix It Up Finds, and we found some excellent, excellent things this week.
Yes.
We found one that is part product, part event.
Ooh.
We found something that comes in a bag.
Yes.
And we found something that you bring back in a bag.
Yes.
That's about all I got in the bag area.
Okay, start with number one, Mark.
Number one, very, very excited about this. We talked about it on a previous show. We are going to the F-150 Drive Roundup
yes.
to check out a couple things. We're going to do all kinds of stuff with the new F-150. But what we're going to do, among other things, is drive the EcoBoost F-150, and we're going to learn about hypermiling.
I love hypermiling. I don't know what it is.
You know what it is.
But it sounds really exciting. Like, I want to hypermile everywhere. I bet our son hypermiles when he runs around the house. No? He doesn't?
No.
Okay.
Hypermiling is a technique, basically a series of techniques you can use to, like, glide to stops instead of braking so that you maximize the inertia of the fuel you burn.
Oh, so they're going to teach us how to do that at the Ford F-150 event.
They're going to show us that, and we're going to drive the EcoBoost engine, which is the most fuel-efficient Ford F-150 engine, and we're going to do some other cool stuff, like, because you have to do it in home improvement lifestyle, towing, and we're actually going to do some drag racing.
I don't think we have to drag race in home improvement.
I got a drag race to the lumberyard about half of my jobs.
Well, and if you want to check out the F-150 event, they have them all over the country. And go to drivef150.com for information. And they're going to be in Baltimore, Maryland next Saturday.
Next Saturday. And it is free, open to the public, and lasts all day. So definitely go check it out.
So what else do you have? What comes in a bag, Mark?
What comes in a bag is Quikrete Green Concrete Mix that until recently was only available in certain parts of the country. Now it's making its way across the country and available in different places.
I love green concrete.
And basically what they do is they recycle other things to make the aggregate in the concrete.
Okay.
Right now, concrete's a mixture of what? Portland cement?
Mm-hmm.
Is it lime? What are the three parts of concrete? Portland cement, lime, and rocks.
Aggregates.
Yeah, aggregate, rocks.
And water.
Well, yeah, when you mix it yourself, it becomes water. I mean, when you mix it yourself, you add the water. But the aggregate doesn't have to be rocks they mine out of the ground. And they use all different kinds of things, including recycled concrete and something left over from power plants called fly ash.
Now, where can you find more about that product?
You know what? I don't know. Is it quickcrete.com? I have a page. Oh, here it is. Here it is. I got to look for it.
Okay. Well, while you look for it, I'm going to share what my fix-it-up finds are.
You should.
Well, I was walking through the mall the other day with my son.
It is quickcrete.com.
Quickcrete.com. I was walking through the mall with Jack the other day, and I noticed that Gap is doing its jean recycling program right now. They did that back in March, I think, of this year, and they actually collected, what is it, I have it here, 270,000 units of denim, which they used to create fiber insulation for more than 540 homes for Habitat Humanity affiliates that help people in areas that are affected by natural disaster, like in New Orleans or the Gulf Coast.
Right.
Very cool, right?
Yeah.
So they take all of these jeans and they convert them into ultra-touch housing insulation, which is done in partnership with Cotton Incorporated.
Easy
say
for
that
you
again.
To say.
From blue to green program, which is really awesome. From blue to green. Now, I think that's awesome. But they also say that 450 million pairs of jeans are sold in the U.S. every year.
Well, I was just going to suggest something to you, which is I think this is great, and, you know, all roads come and go to the waste stream. You divert this from the waste stream, make it another product. But the number that you just cited didn't seem like a huge, huge amount of jeans, 570 homes. I mean, that's great, but there's millions of homes in the country.
540 homes. But you know what? That's a start. It's definitely a start. And they only had the program for a few weeks in March, and it's going on right now at your local Gap store. So go and bring your old jeans in. And I think you get some kind of discount on a new pair of jeans if you bring in your old jeans, too.
Right on.
But it's a good place to bring your old stuff, and you know you're making a difference in helping people out in the world.
Well, you are, and I guess my point here is a call to action, because there's here in our notes, there's 450 million pairs of jeans sold each year.
Yes.
Which, you know, doing the math backwards, that's a lot of jeans that are just going in the trash.
Well, maybe they're going in the trash, or maybe they're being donated to, you know, other
people
things.
Yeah, okay. All right. I gotcha.
You know, Gap isn't the only place where you can recycle your old jeans.
Well,
but here's something else that you can recycle, which I haven't really thought about before, which is carpet.
Oh, yes.
Totally. You know, I've seen you driving down the street, people have the old rolls of carpet that they've brought out of their house and then try to slip the, you know, the garbage collector's old 20 to take it.
Yeah, or here's the old deuce.
Yeah, exactly. But there is actually an organization, the Carpet America Recovery Effort, which is CARE, C-A-R-E, CARE.
Of course it is.
At carpetrecovery.org, and you can actually find on their website your local place where you can recycle your old carpet.
Wow.
Which is so cool, because they have the stat on their website that just this year there's 6 billion pounds of carpet being discarded. 6 billion.
6 billion again. It keeps going back to the waste stream. We're just filling up the Great American Landfill, as Christopher Lowell said.
But they also have the stat that 900 million pounds of that is being recycled this year, too. So that's kind of good to think about. And one place that's being recycled is niloboard.com. They have a product that they make decking, flooring, walls, fences out of recycled carpet fiber. So check that out. And we have to take a break, and we will be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
Popular Mechanics provides answers for today's times with informative how-to and how-it-works stories on automotive, science, technology, and, of course, the home. Popular Mechanics provides the instruction and inspiration for the My Fix It Up Life crowd. Check out PopularMechanics.com for the latest in science and technology news, their homeowners clinic, online automotive reviews, and the gadget of the week. A great tool for the My Fix It Up Life toolbox is Popular Mechanics. Visit the site or order your subscription today at PopularMechanics.com.
Like free stuff?
We do, too.
That's why we're giving away cool gear every week on the My Fix It Up Life Home Improvement Radio Show.
Check out MyFixItUpLife.com to enter to win, find how-to advice, or listen to My Fix It Up Life shows on iTunes.
Every week on the My Fix It Up Life Radio Show, we answer your questions and take you on an insider tour with the hottest celebrities and experts in home improvement.
Ask us your questions at 888-710-5557.
Or online at MyFixItUpLife.com, Facebook, and Twitter.
My Fix It Up Life is what's best in home improvement and entertainment. My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today. Got roof? For roof repair and replacement, you need the high-performance tools and hardware from RoofersWorld.com. The Red Ripper tools reduce tear-off time by up to 30%. The innovative Adapta roof staging accessories enable you to work safe and fast at heights and on steep pitches. Whether you need magnetic hatchets or hammers, roofing knives and blades, hard-to-find snow guards or roof jacks, Roofers World is your go-to source. For high-performance, rugged, get-it-done tools and accessories, visit RoofersWorld.com.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa.
And you know, I'm having a nice day with you today.
Oh, well, isn't that fabulous?
It is fabulous, and I'm still using my reusable cup of coffee.
I'm still consuming a new paper product.
Ooh.
Of course, this will be trash to energy, which is what happens here.
Well, and I wanted to ask you to share with everyone one of your DIY Network blogs that you did recently on tying an extension cord knot.
Oh, yeah.
That got a lot of hits to, our website, I guess, to click through for the DIY Network one, and there's a lot of Twittering about it, too. So it's like a simple tip that really helps people out.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I write stuff down, it gets a lot of tweet things.
Mark doesn't really do the Twitter so much, if you can tell.
No, I just do the big picture stuff. When I speak, my vision carries.
Really? So
this is an old carpenter's trick.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people I've seen, you know, they're cutting plywood or they're making a long cut with their circular saw, and they're cutting along and they're doing their best to stay on the line and do all this other stuff. And then they find out that their saw is not running anymore, which is a pain in the butt. So what carpenters do on the job site is they tie a simple knot between the two cords, the saw cord and the extension cord. And the way I do it is I hold both cords together, so I hold one in one hand, one in the other hand, and then I just wrap a loop and come through, and then I plug them in. I've seen other people who sort of start it like a granny knot, you know, like you tie your shoes, and then do another loop and put them together that way. It seems like the way that I do it snags less when you bring the saw cord around or you're dragging it through the yard or whatever.
Well, that's one of the really important things, too, is knowing how to tie different kinds of knots, especially if you're doing projects. And we were just talking to Lexi, our 9-year-old, about this past week, and that we're going to teach her how to tie different knots.
Threatened to teach her.
And she is not happy about it at all. She would much rather be doing something else.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, honestly, I learned a couple of knots back in my marine construction days back on Cape Cod. And talk about simple, effective, free, and totally empowering.
Yes. Well, I learned how to tie knots in Girl Scouts.
I'm sure you did.
I did. We had to.
Big part of what you have to learn.
Exactly.
And Boy Scouts do the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you've ever sailed or if you've ever been in the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts,
mm-hmm.
you've probably been exposed to these. But I swear to you, I've seen contractors. I've seen people, you know, just regular homeowners at the lumber yard trying to tie stuff down to their car, and they're struggling. So we have a couple. We should do something about that.
We should.
We should do some videos on myfixitupliife.com.
We should, but the struggling thing, you know, you always see, well, you don't always, but occasionally you'll see someone pulling out of a lumber yard or like a home improvement center, like holding on to the top of the car.
Don't even get me started. The mattress flailing down the street.
Oh, it's just like, oh, no. Just have some rope and tie it down,
buddy. I know it.
Borrow a truck. Rent a truck.
We have to make a quick segue, though.
We do. We have a special guest on the line right now. Nicole Curtis, are you there?
Hi, yeah. This is Nicole Curtis, the rehab addict on DIY.
Oh, how are you? You're talking with Mark and Teresa on My Fix It Up Life.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. And congratulations, your show, you have a new show on DIY Network, and I think the first episode aired this week?
Yeah, we actually did a double episode Thursday nights at 10.
And we wanted to watch it, I have to say, but
we have a two-year-old, Nicole, and I hate to break it to you, but we're not up then.
We aren't. We are totally lame. We go to bed so early, like fairly soon after the kids go to bed. So I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to watch it during the day when DIY Network hopefully re-airs your episodes, because 10 o'clock is tough for me. So I want to know about your show. What do you do on your show?
You know, I can feel with the children. I have a 12-year-old myself, so I remember those days of the 2 and 3-year-old, you know, age times and things like that. And it doesn't go away. Let me just start with that.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you. So Nicole has to go now.
Yeah. No, the show just really captures the essence of what I do. And, you know, I'm an investor, real estate agent, interior designer, and really how I got into this business. I just always loved old homes, and I always wanted a big old home, and I could never, frankly, afford a turnkey one. So, you know, even with my first house, I just learned how to do everything myself. And being a single mom, I really didn't have it in my budget. So I really had to be thrifty and just hands-on with every project. And through the years, I mean, my son's definitely been a part of it, and it's nice that he's older now. He can actually help. Yeah, I mean, it really just shows what it takes to really restore a home versus flipping it. Really taking the time to, you know, hunt down salvaged wood and hunt down old buffet pieces and things like that to put them back in the houses. You know, most of the time when people lose their homes due to foreclosure or something like that, they completely gut the houses.
And, they take the architectural elements out of it?
They take it all out and they sell it. Because, you know, they can, on a good-sized home, they can get about $5,000 to $10,000 when they rip this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So I buy the houses, and then I got to go back around and buy all the stuff back and figure out a way to get it in the homes.
Now, I am totally interested in how you go about being thrifty on, you know, going to salvage yards and flea markets and all of the stuff. Like, what... You know, when you go to a flea market, I just feel overwhelmed by all the stuff that's there. Like, what is your strategy for tackling all of those things that are out there?
Yeah, you know, the dirtier it is, the cheaper it is. So if you're willing to put in a little bit of elbow grease, you're going to get a hell of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
If I need an antique door to go back in a house, if I go to an antique dealer, they're going to charge me $200-$300. I go to the flea market. I go to Craigslist. I can probably pick it up for $10 or $20.
Mm.
And, you know, really what it takes is me taking it home, sanding it down, putting a fresh coat of paint on it. But for my couple hours of time, you know, it's definitely worth me not paying a couple hundred dollars for. So really just an eye to see, you know, if you're really not that handy, start with something small, an old light fixture, even like the old doorknobs.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick those up when, you know, with a little wire brush and some dish soap. You can pick them up quite easily.
Oh, cool.
Oh, right on. Yeah, we've done that in our house.
We have, yes.
Yeah, we found the original doors and the original hardware,
mm-hmm.
and we sanded them down and brought them back to life.
Now, I'm curious, Nicole, like, what's a favorite find you've found recently?
Oh, I think I think I have to say I'm really into like old medicine cabinets and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And so recently what I even found in the house I'm doing now that we're actually shooting, 10 episodes will be in one house because I have so many projects in it.
Oh, wow.
And I had a gutted bathroom, and in the basement I found the old original medicine chest.
Wow.
So love these it. Have the, you know, original beveled mirrors and the crystal knobs and everything. So I'm a real sucker for anything original, anything that I can actually put back in the house, you know, that was originally there. That's what I try to do. But, you know, I really, you know, searching online and even garage sales, I found some stair treads a couple weeks ago at a garage sale, and now I'm putting them in a house. So,
oh, wow. What part of the country are you working in?
Right now I'm in Minneapolis. I'm originally from Detroit, so obviously being from there, there's so much great architecture, and in Minneapolis there's so many great homes too. So, you know, I'm in the Midwest still.
Right on. Yeah, I did a trade show back in Minneapolis a couple years ago called JLC Live, and I took a run around that area, and I went over to St. Paul, and it is gorgeous there. I was surprised.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing. And the coolest part about Minneapolis is that we live on a lake in the city. There's a chain of lakes in actual downtown Minneapolis. And so you have these great big older homes and with water. So, I mean, we're runners and everything else. So try not to be in the car too much unless I'm, you know, taking the truck to, you know, get some furniture or something. But it's such a cool city, cool houses, and, you know, just kind of the mecca for an old house junkie like me.
Oh, I love it. Old house junkie.
Right on. So we got junkie and we got addict. Is there anything else you want to tell us, Nicole?
That's too
no,
bad.
No.
Actually, this is a planned intervention.
I can't even handle caffeine, so yeah.
Yeah, this is a planned intervention anyway, so.
It's not an intervention because, you know, we love old houses too. It's basically what we work on all the time.
Yeah.
As well, so we're all addicts, I guess.
You know, and once you start your first old house, you can't ever buy new. I can't find it in me to buy a new house. And the craftsmanship, just knowing that every piece of wood, every door frame, everything was hand nailed.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to build a house all by hand with hand tools, oh my gosh, it would take me 15 years at least. So to know that these craftsmen in the turn of the century and such didn't have any power, you know, so
yeah.
That's always amazing to me because I really rely on, you know, my big table saw and, you know, everything like that. So,
Wow, yeah. There was a guy dedicated to sharpening handsaw blades all day on job sites.
Oh, yeah. And you know what, just the thing I always tell my son because he's, you know, in seventh grade, and he always says, well, when am I going to use all this? And whenever you take apart an old house, I always find the measurement board. There's always, you know, added up numbers and everything like that. And these guys could, you know, they could do all the measurements for a house in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to pull out my phone and use my calculator, you know?
It's so true, yeah. That is
yeah.
True.
I know. We just did that the other day. We were double-checking ourselves to make sure measurement. We were trying to find the center line of a couple fence posts. And it was like 27 feet, 3.5 inches. And Teresa did the math in her head. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go double check that on my phone.
On his phone, too,
yeah.
Which is amazing to us as well. It shows our age. But, yeah it's really, really amazing how things change.
Yeah, so the show just really follows along. And I'm all about keeping it real. So you're not, I'm usually in no makeup and I look like I rolled straight out of bed because I'm working construction and that's how we really do it. You know, I don't cut once and it fits in perfect every time. So I really wanted my viewers to be able to see that it's not all smoke and mirrors. Definitely not
Nicole,
on our show.
That is awesome. We're going to have to check it out.
Check out DIY Networks Rehab Addict. We'll be back in just a minute with more of my Fix It Up Life.
Roofers World is helping make your next roof repair or home renovation project easier, faster, and safer. Roofers World is your source for durable tear-off tools, powerful leak repair tape, secure roof staging systems, and much more. Visit www.roofersworld.com to get helpful renovation tips and roofing safety advice from our blog. Buy products online through the New East store or locate a distributor in your area.
Portions of My Fix It Up Life are brought to you by FixMyHog.com, the number one DVD source for do-it-yourself Harley-Davidson maintenance and performance.
Portions of this program brought to you by Codify Design Studio, specializing in graphic design across print, web, and mobile devices. Visit CodifyDesign.com. That's CodifyDesign.com.
The Carpenter's Notebook, a novel about building a better life.
I reach for my tape measure more like a gunslinger going for his six-shooter than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
2 years after his father's death, Brendan leaves his daughters and collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise he made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping his own life. Inside a heartwarming love story with raw, hammer-swinging detail, author Marth Clement shares the story of a man who discovers his father's job site life lessons. Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says, "Home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a rich and unique story." Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says, "A wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that the greatest wisdom is built from the material of everyday life." Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide. Inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa,
and we're talking green today.
Very green.
We
from
are
recycling old houses to all kinds of
recycling
new cool
your
products.
Pants.
To recycling your pants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are very excited. We have a very special guest on the line right now, and it's Steve Thomas.
Hey Steve, are you there?
I am here.
Hey. Welcome to My Fix It Up Life. How is your Fix It Up Life?
My Fix It Up Life is exciting. we just had a big blow the other day. The power went out, and I just got off a lobster boat from an expedition to one of the other islands with a buddy of mine to check out the damage out on the island that he looks after. So that island's about 8 miles offshore or so. Four and a half miles offshore.
You literally just got off the lobster boat?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep. Ate a cheese sandwich and then picked up the phone.
So that's life down east in Maine.
Yes, it is.
Love it. Now, are you living there, or is this a seasonal home or a cabin, as
well, it started out as a real fix-it-upper that we bought for, you know, pennies. Not pennies, but not very much money, about 11 years ago.
Right.
And then I renovated the house and then built a barn and, you know, tried to do the whole thing green. And the way I define green building is I have sort of a diagram. It's on my website, stevethomashome.com. But it's the way I think about green building is in five rings. The first is energy, workmanship, materials, health, and design. And energy is the amount of energy it takes to run the house. So if you have a really efficient house that has renewables, it might be energy neutral, or it might even be net positive, giving energy back to the web, to the grid.
Yeah.
Workmanship is the sum total of all those little details that help a house last for tens, if not hundreds of years without a lot of maintenance, or if those details are done poorly, then it ensures it'll self-destruct, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years and require a lot of maintenance. So, you know, there's nothing new about workmanship. That's a really old value, and you see it especially here in New England with the boat builders who were turned barn builders and house builders. Now, the third is materials. That's kind of a big category. It includes the nature of the material, whether it's healthy, whether it's been strip mined out of some foreign country. So it's the supply chain, the nature of the material, the supply chain, and the greenness thereof. And a lot of the big box stores are now trying to green their supply chain, make sure that all of their SKUs, as they call them, their stock keeping units, all the different items that are in the stores, have the least environmental impact in their in their sourcing as possible.
So one example of that would be, for example, maybe an extreme example would be, you know, if a store or you're using it on a project, landscape material like rocks, you know, you can get them from wherever, you can get them locally.
Exactly. You know, one of the most absurd examples of rocks that I've ever heard of in my life is it is cheaper to have cobblestones, granite cobblestones, hand-hammered. This was about 10 years ago, but it still stuck with me as an absurd fact. It was cheaper than to have cobblestones hand-hammered in India, load them by children, load them onto a freighter, ship them to the United States, put them on a truck, distribute them across the United States, and sell them in a landscape supply place than it was to source them locally, which seems truly absurd.
That just makes me ill. That absolutely just makes me ill.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Ill.
Another one is soapstone, which used to come from Vermont. I've actually been to the soapstone quarries. It now comes out of Brazil because it's cheaper to source it in Brazil, load it in container ships, and ship it here than it is to get it out of Vermont. So now they claim, those that have studied this claim, that the impact of containerized cargo is much lower than shipping it by truck or rail, and it's actually very low because container ships are pretty efficient. They carry a lot of stuff for not very much fuel.
Sure,
but
and that's
still,
great.
Still, it seems ridiculous to ship stuff halfway around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great if you live dockside.
The two other bubbles are health, really quickly. Health is a big concern. It covers everything from the nature of the material itself, whether it off-gases or has bad stuff in it, and indoor air quality. And the general concern is that your house is a healthy place to live or it's an unhealthy place to live. Typically, the guys, as it breaks down demographically, the guys are concerned about energy and women are concerned about the health of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the final bubble is design, because after all, if you like the place, if it fits into its surroundings, if it seems like it belongs, if it's, in a word, well-designed, then you want to take care of it. Because finally, the overarching principle of green building is stewardship. And, you know, the greenest buildings of all are those that were built a long time ago and have been taken care of for all these years. And you can think of great examples in the United States, like Monticello and Mount Vernon and, you know, the founding fathers who were their own architects and general contractors thought very carefully about the design of the building, what they symbolized. Jefferson in particular thought about the symbolism of, say, the Virginia State House, which is the first public building designed in the United States. You know, it's still around. It's just been renovated a few years ago, so it's still there. So that's how I think about green building.
Now, I have to ask you, when did you start to be passionate about green building? Like, was there a moment in your life where you just switched it on, or was it just a part of you for your whole life?
Well, you know, the fundamental cornerstone of green building is being cheap. Because when it comes right down to it, you know, people say it's too expensive to do a green building, but that's only if you utilize faulty accounting. If you stretch the timelines out far enough, green buildings are far cheaper than non-green buildings because they last longer, they cost less to heat and cool, they cost less to maintain, and so all the initial higher costs, and they are higher costs initially, are amortized over a much longer period. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't call it green building. The term didn't exist. We called it sustainable building.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was first on this old house, we did our first project in my term on this old house was a barn in Concord, Massachusetts that was just about ready to fall down. We actually tore it down and built a replica of it in its place. We used structural insulated panels, radiant floor heat, what then was called an air-to-air heat exchanger, a heat recovery ventilator, and so on, a cold roof. So many of the techniques that are touted as green building, the latest and greatest in green building, have been around for a long time. Back then we called it sustainable building because it was sustainable, and that's still a pretty good term. But about 3 or 4 years ago, the term green building entered the general vernacular. I think the U.S. Green Building Council helped to push the terminology green building. And you know, the problem has been that there's no real structure that unifies it. But I think the five rings do a pretty good job describing all the different aspects of green building. So I came to it, you know, gradually, but was always interested in building buildings that last a long time, that look good, that fit in with their surroundings, that are healthy, that take as little as possible to heat and cool.
Wow, it sounds like a message as old as the hills.
Pretty much is. I mean, if you think about one of the advantages, I just sold the house that we had owned for 24 years. It was a 1700s colonial in Salem, Massachusetts, so it was a first period colonial. Moved to the site in 1836, renovated numerous times, including several times by me. Hmm. And when you dig into these old buildings, first of all, the materials were really good. You had first growth pine that, you know, was highly resinous and lasted a long time. The carpenters really knew how to detail the buildings so that they didn't fall apart. The buildings were repairable. You could take them apart, replace the sills, do whatever you had to do, and keep them going. So a lot of these principles of, you know, green building are as old as the hills.
Wow, and that house you just mentioned had to have been a timber frame.
It was. Yeah, it certainly was. The original core was timber frame. Then, like in the 1800s, they started adding on additions that were balloon framed.
Okay. Okay, so you've got long, basically very tall 2x material instead of what we now do conventionally, which is called platform framing.
Right. And, you know, back then they would use parts of that building were just junk. They were 1x, 2x, or 2x joined by 1x, anything they had around. They tore down a chicken coop because, you know, building material was expensive, so they would utilize whatever they had around.
Yeah, none of our listeners swear.
No, they don't at all.
Neither do we.
You know, I'm just thinking about tearing that building apart when I first bought it in 1986 and finding this junk framing the whole back L, and I thought, I was saying more than what I just said.
Yeah, see, on our renovation projects, we're doing a 100-year-old house now where the structural walls are terracotta block, and there's just plaster and lath on the inside of that. And the bones of this place aren't going anywhere. It's Metro Philadelphia.
Okay.
So a lot of stone masonry construction around here.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're reframing walls on the inside and insulating that. We're able to keep the stucco on the outside.
Yeah.
Well, and I know one thing that Mark really wants to talk to you about that I don't think we probably have time today is your book.
Oh, The Last Navigator.
That is an evergreen. I wrote that in 86. It was first published in 86. It's still around. The guy that I studied with, Mao Pialik, recently died at 79 years old.
Wow.
And so that sort of closes the circle. For listeners who don't know what we're talking about, I spent from 1982 to 1984 researching and then doing the field work for a book called The Last Navigator, which is about traditional star path navigation in Micronesia. I wrote the book and then went back in 87 and 88 and shot a film for Public Television's Adventure Series, which was broadcast in 89. That was at WGBH in Boston. And while I was in the station working on the film, I heard they were looking for a new host on this old house.
And hey, Steve, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
Can we take a break and come back with that?
Yep, no problem.
1 second. Hang tight. We'll be back with more of my Fix It Up Life.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
portions of My Fix It Up Life are brought to you by FixMyHog.com, the number one DVD source for do-it-yourself Harley-Davidson maintenance and performance.
Like free stuff?
We do, too.
That's why we're giving away cool gear every week on the My Fix It Up Life Home Improvement Radio Show.
Check out MyFixItUpLife.com to enter to win, find how-to advice, or listen to My Fix It Up Life shows on iTunes.
Every week on the My Fix It Up Life Radio Show, we answer your questions and take you on an insider tour with the hottest celebrities and experts in home improvement.
Ask us your questions at 888-710-5557.
Or online at MyFixItUpLife.com, Facebook, and Twitter.
My Fix It Up Life is what's best in home improvement and entertainment.
What a perfect day to play left, right there.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we are still joined by Renovation Nation Steve Thomas. Hopefully he didn't hang up on us and go back out on the lobster boat.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, great, great. We only have a couple more minutes, but so far you've touched on globalization, amortization, Thomas Jefferson and Monticello, green building, timber framing, balloon framing, and we were just talking about the last navigator, so navigation for a T-I-O-N word. Now, I guess the only remaining question here, Steve, is what don't you know about?
That's kind of a silly question. You got anything better than that?
No, that's the problem.
That is the problem.
That's all I got.
Yeah. That's what Mark does to make himself feel like, you know, intellectually whatever, is to list all the qualities about the smart people that are around, because then you sound smart, right, honey?
I just copied what he said.
I know.
Well, I'll tell you what we haven't touched on, which is energy. I mean, the thing that I've been thinking about lately is... you know, we're entering a, by 2050, there's supposed to be 9 billion people on the face of the earth. Energy demand in the United States, I think I've got my figures straight, will increase by 50% over the next 10 years, worldwide by 300%.
Wow.
The Chinese have gone out, or are going out, and securing as many raw materials as they possibly can, anticipating the strategic nature of those raw materials, everything from oil, coal, uranium, rare earths for rare earth magnets, and so on.
Oh, wow.
And the competition for basic resources, and in particular energy, I think is going to be the big challenge of the next epoch. And we, you know, the end of the political acceptability of burning fossil fuel to generate power, and 48% of our energy is generated by coal, will be more and more difficult to support. And that means that we have to start thinking in terms of environmentally neutral forms of generating electricity, and plenty of it. With electricity, you can do a lot of things. Our power was just out for the last 2 days, and you get to thinking about how much you rely on energy and how much fossil fuel it takes to, like, run a generator for 2 days. So it's been on my mind lately. But I think that is the next challenge. Conservation is definitely part of the mix. Various green sources of power, like wind, tidal, and so on, solar, are part of the mix. But I think that, you know, we need to engage our... That spirit of innovation that put Americans on the moon. One of the films that we did for the History Channel was about the Apollo program and the Saturn V rocket. And in 10 years, we put guys on the moon. It was pretty amazing. And I met those guys. Huh. And a lot of the people that you know, designed the rockets and so on and so forth.
Wow.
It was a tremendous sense of adventure The whole country was swept up in the enterprise, and we were willing to take risks, willing to endure some failures, and so on and so forth. And I think it's time to get re-engaged in that kind of American notion of adventure and risk and tackling big problems together. There's not much of that. Politically, there's not much of it. Industrially, there doesn't seem to be much of it, and so on, you know, policy-wise.
Steve Thomas for president, by the way.
Well, I think it's a big problem, and right now we've been able to just put it off by buying power elsewhere, but I think that is going to be the overarching problem of the next, say, 20 years.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking.
Quick question. Have you read, or do you know about, I think it's Joel Kotkin's The Next 100 Million?
No.
I think you would be floored and fascinated by that book. And it's Joel Kotkin's The Next 100 Million, and it's a sort of history and prognostication of who, what, and where we're going to live, because the next 100 million people are expected here, as you say, by 2050.
Okay, check it out.
Might want to check that out. I get a quarter for every copy that's sold, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And definitely check out Steve Thomas at stevethomashome.com. And we have to give away our prize today. Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
I love talking to Steve Thomas.
Seriously, we need to do another hour of the show just for him.
Well, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, we have the Little Giant Select Step Ladder that we're giving away, and we did a little different kind of giveaway for this free stuff prize, which you got to vote for the winner. So, you know, you voted, and guess who won?
I have to guess who won because I don't know.
Kathy Meyer won. I am so excited for her. She is from Ohio, and she wrote in and says, I mean, come on, if for no other reason than it's entertaining, pop it up, pop it down, put it this way, put it that way. Oops, not stable, no problem. We can fix that. So the entertainment turns practical. We are a family of five, hubby, myself, and three teenage sons. I can always use a tool to help get them to help out. I'm betting the first few times they will fight over who gets to use it. Let's see, stairwell painted, gutters cleaned, the list of chores is endless. We would love a Little Giant Select Step Ladder. Of course, if all the above fails, the ladder will help mom to complete these tasks easier, too. So, Kathy Meyer, congratulations. And we have another cool prize that's up for grabs right now.
Yes, we do.
And we're giving it away in a few weeks. It's the
12-inch. It's the Bosch 12-inch dual bevel axial glide miter saw. Much like the Select Step Ladder, reinvents the category.
It does.
It oversimplifying it a little bit, it replaces the rails of a dual sliding compound miter saw with what amounts to an articulating hinge.
Which is so cool because you don't need the kind of space behind your miter
saw
like you used to.
That's right.
Like you do for every other kind that's out there.
That's right.
It's really awesome. And
that's
I think it lists price for like $1,200 too.
No.
I saw it online.
No. The prices I've seen are like $600 or $700. Probably $700.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm 99.
I'm
100% sure.
We're not shopping in the same places.
No. No, there are other miter saws that do cost that, but I extremely
this particular
doubt
one?
It. Yeah, I
okay.
doubt that.
Well,
I bet
we'll
that
check
was a
the
mistake.
Prices and we'll figure that out.
Either way, this is
a really cool prize.
It's really cool, and you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a little name dropping. I saw the first one 2 years ago.
You did?
I did, before it was even in production.
Was this one of those things where you got behind the curtain and everything?
Went behind the iron curtain.
You did?
Yeah.
You know, Mark has been reviewing tools for a decade, and so he gets to see things before they even make them, really.
Some people in the company didn't even know they were doing it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like one of those things. Who was with me? Was it Justin Fink from Fine Home Building? It might have been him, or it might have been Doug Mahoney,
mm-hmm.
our tool snob friend. Either way.
Speaking of Doug Mahoney, I wonder if his fingernail fall off.
His fingernail is gone.
Because I think I picked today as the day when his fingernail would fall off, and there was a prize associated with picking the right day.
Yeah, check out toolsnob.com. See if Mahoney still has his fingernail. And
yeah.
Doug, I'm sure you're listening right now. Call in and tell us if your fingernail.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Is gone. It's 888-710-5557.
Or send us an email at info@myfixituplife.com.
Or send me a text message.
No, but for the Bosch miter saw, what you can do is you enter to win. And you write down, you type in what your reason is, why you want it, and then get all of your friends to vote for you. You can vote once a day for whoever you want to win.
At MyFixItUpLife.com.
At MyFixItUpLife.com or on Facebook on MyFixItUpLife.
Yes, which is, we've seen some great photos coming up from your projects.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited about that.
Oh, I love that because we learn from you. We learn from each other. You know, little tips and tricks that we learn as we're going along doing our project.
Yeah, the MyFixItUpLife community.
It is. It really is.
Let's all knit sweaters.
No. I knit sweaters. What's wrong with that? Do you want me to teach you how, babe?
It just sounds like something people do in community.
Well, you know, it's about community.
Hold hands and hug. Let's cut
and
boards.
On next week's show, we are cutting boards. It's a deck show. We're getting all decked out, talking about what's new in decking, bringing you live interviews we did at the 2010 Deck Expo from Baltimore, Maryland.
Is that what's on deck?
That's what's on deck.
Okay, that's a triple decker.
That's a triple decker. We are going to bring you interviews with the editor of Professional Deck Builder magazine, Andy Engel.
Begrudgingly, our friend.
Begrudgingly, our friend.
Yes.
And Bobby Parks, who is one of the best deck builders in the country, I'd say.
World. Yeah, without a doubt. Elliptical details, crown molding, porches, fireplaces, hardwoods, composites.
And he's down in Atlanta, so if you're in that neighborhood, you should check him out.
Yeah, oh, you definitely should. Peachtree Decks and Porches is his company.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And our company is My Fix It Up Life, so go to myfixituplife.com, and you can search for tips for whatever you're working on in your projects. And if you can't find what you're looking for, send us an email. Ask us a question. We would love to answer it, either just online or on our show.
Yeah. In fact, we have questions we can't even get to.
Oh, we don't. We get to all the questions people email us.
No, I mean that we were going to answer today, but we just can't get to them all.
Well, yeah. That's a good thing. And follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Email us at info@myfixituplife.com.
Yes.
Where else can you follow us? You can call us.
You can call us at
888-710-5557.
Yes.
You could join us next week.
You could join us next week for what do we do every week?
Every week we do a radio show about home improvement lifestyle called My Fix It Up Life.
We do. And our 9-year-old Lexi is dying to join us on an upcoming episode.
Oh, yes, she is.
And if you haven't subscribed to her truck magazine,
Awesome Wheels,
go and check it out. She's got her own little blog that she writes on our website about little things that she does around the house to help with projects. And she has her own magazine about trucks.
She does, which she made for her brother Jack, who will join us someday too in about 7 years.
In about 7 years?
Well, when he's 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And he has a blog on our website too, and I've been told recently that he's a very good writer.
And we will see you next time
on My Fix It Up Life.
Popular Mechanics provides answers for today's times with informative how-to and how-it-works stories on automotive, science, technology, and, of course, the home. Popular Mechanics provides the instruction and inspiration for the My Fix It Up Life crowd. Check out PopularMechanics.com for the latest in science and technology news, their homeowners clinic, online automotive reviews, and the gadget of the week. A great tool for the My Fix It Up Life toolbox is Popular Mechanics. Visit the site or order your subscription today at PopularMechanics.com.
The Carpenter's Notebook, a novel about building a better life.
I reach for my tape measure more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
2 years after his father's death, Brendan leaves his daughters and collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise he made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping his own life. Inside a heartwarming love story with raw, hammer-swinging detail, author Marth Clement shares the story of a man who discovers his father's job site life lessons. Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says, "Home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a rich and unique story." Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that the greatest wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.